Well, thank you, Gigi, for reading Luke chapter 1 and verses 26 to 33. And I need some help. So I've got some Mars bars and or some Rolos and or some Snickers, but I need somebody to come and help me with a tiny bit of unwrapping. Okay, let's go. Come. Okay, thank you very much. This is not breakfast, so you're not allowed chocolate. Okay, hold on just a minute. Now, I need you to come over here. Look at me. It's always a good idea. And take this gently to the middle. Look at it. Hold it in both hands. It's very precious. Now, is anybody going to guess as to what we've got in the bag? Going to guess. You've got it. Your hand went up first. What are you going to guess is in the bag? Toys, not toys, but you may still have a quickly choose. Quick, come on. Quick. Well done. Anybody else going to guess? Ezra, are you going to guess what might be in the bag? This is the vicar asking the question. We've just had a Bible reading. It is possible that what I'm looking for you'd find in the Bible. Now, you just still want to answer? What do you think is in the bag?
A wooden cross.
Did we have a wooden... It's a wooden cross. It's always a good thing to talk about in church. Did we have a wooden cross in the reading? No, we didn't. Okay. Gigi, you read the reading. You can have a chockey for reading the reading, but you ought to be able to get the answers. I'm not going to ask you. Anybody else, what do you think might be in the bag? Go on, have a guess. What do you think from the reading, what might be in the bag? No idea?
Would it be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
Well, would it be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Talk about covering all the bases. We're in church, it's been a Bible reading. Could it be Jesus, Mary, Mother, and Joseph?
I'll go for Mary.
Yeah. You'll go for Mary. Well, you can have a sweetie, but it's not actually what's in the bag. Who comes first in the reading? Tristan, you've got a hand up.
The angel
Gabriel. Let's see if you're right. Can you open the bag? Okay, now be very, very, very careful. It's very precious. Lift it out of the bag and put it on the table. All right, thank you very much. You may have your chocolate, even though it's not breakfast time. Quickly choose. Okay, I need someone else to come and unwrap the next one. Okay, go for it. Yes, come and unwrap the next one. All right, this one. Yes, come into the middle. Same idea. Now that you know what the answer is likely to be, what do you think, Malachi?
Mary,
yes, absolutely. Let's unwrap that one, please. Okay, so take it right out of the paper. Very good. Very careful, because she's very precious. Okay, and what's happening is that... The angel, okay, you can go and sit down. Thank you very much. Take your Rolo or whatever, quickly. Moral of the story is don't have choice in a tin, then people don't have to spend hours thinking about it. Okay, so I want to just look and think about, here is Mary, teenager. We don't know what age she was. She might have been anything from about sort of 13 upwards. Almost certainly wasn't older than about 16, 17. And suddenly an angel comes. Again, thinking about the passage that we've just been read, what do you think that Mary would feel when the angel came? What do you think that Mary would feel? Roz?
She'd be very alarmed and frightened.
Alarmed and frightened, yes. We've actually got some words that are there in the text, Matthew. Go on, go for it.
Shocked.
Yes, I think shocked is a very good idea. What else is she... Yeah, okay.
Scared.
Was that scared? Is that what you said? Scared, okay, brilliant. Yes, afraid or scared. One in the back row.
Afraid,
absolutely right, yes.
Petrified,
that's a very good version of afraid. We'll settle with just afraid for the moment. So petrified, there's another word that begins with P that I'm fairly sure is in the text. Puzzled or perplexed, so lots of different Ps. You've had enough. You can give one to your daughter or your husband, as the case may be. There we go. Or your son. Several people. Okay, so we get the idea that I mean, it would have been pretty scary. Pretty scary to be Mary. Suddenly, I mean, angels are big, and who knows? And we're told that she's perplexed. What sort of greeting is it? And then we're told that the angel says to her, don't be afraid, which implies that, yes, she is afraid. So just bear those things in mind. We've got Mary being spoken to. So much the same idea as we think about... Have I turned myself off? I might have done. Much the same idea. I need somebody else to help and someone else to do a tiny bit of unwrapping. Someone who hasn't been up to the front yet. Ezra, you haven't been up to the front. Come up to the front. Now, you can have your suite when you've finished. Who do you think, bearing in mind what the answers were to the first lot, who do you think is likely to be inside this... Joseph, let's see if you're right. Go very carefully. He's right. Okay. And what has happened to Joseph? Were you listening to the reading?
He found out that he was going to get married to Mary and that he was supposed to call his son Jesus.
Exactly. He was supposed to call the baby Jesus. Absolutely right. So thank you very much indeed. Let's give you a suite as you go. Okay. So, here is Joseph. I've called it on the service leaflet, Joseph being reassured. So, what do you think Joseph would have felt before, again, you get the answer from the passage, before the angel came, what do you think Joseph would have been feeling? What was he, how is he described? What would he have been feeling about his situation? What do you think he would have been feeling? Someone who hasn't answered a question yet this morning. Francis, what do you think he would have been feeling?
Very, very worried.
Very, very worried, okay? Yep. He was feeling worried. What else was it? What are we told? What are we actually told he was feeling? What does the angel say? Do not be afraid. So what does that imply? That he's feeling afraid or anxious. Yes, absolutely. What else do you think? If you were in this situation, Ezra's got his hand up all the time because Ezra is really, really bright, but he's had enough chocolate. I don't want to rot his teeth anymore. Yes, he.
Confused.
He's confused, yes. If you just imagine for a moment that you were engaged to a woman and suddenly she's found to be carrying a baby, how would you feel?
Betrayed,
I think, would be a good. Oh, I'd forgotten you'd already had. I'm rotting your teeth. How else would he be feeling, do you think?
Disappointed,
yes. I think who was this girl? I thought she was a really nice, good girl. Humiliated, yeah. Okay, so it's worth just entering into some of the emotion that would have been going on. And so he goes to sleep, and we're told this time that it's an angel of the Lord who comes. And what is Joseph's response? Now, we didn't get that in our reading, but if you look at verse 24, what is Joseph's response? Roz?
He's obedient.
He's obedient.
No,
okay. He's obedient. Okay, so all those things we thought about him, particularly that he was afraid, but his response is to be obedient. Let's come back to the service. So, thank you, George. We have our next reading in Luke's Gospel. And it's Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 5. Now, I need somebody else to volunteer. Someone who hasn't been up the front yet this morning. Okay, Victor, you can come up. You've got your hand up first. Now, were you listening to the reading?
No.
No. No, no. Was that a no or a yes?
That was a yes.
That was a yes, okay. So who do you think we ought to have, if we're going to have some pictures showing about the... What was the reading about? Did you understand?
It was about, like, when Joseph went to his own town to be registered and to have a place where they
Brilliant. Okay, it was about the journey of Joseph going from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because that was his old family town, in order to be registered. It was like me having to go back to a place called Chichester in Sussex, because that was where I was born. Okay? So, we've got Joseph. Who else do you think ought to be in our figures? Who else do you think ought to be part of the figures? Who else went with him on the journey?
Also, Mary.
Mary. So, Mary went with him. So, we certainly need Mary. And then there might be somebody else. What else do you think? In those days, what do you think might be inside our bag to do with journeying from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Anybody else help him out? What do you think?
I think it's a donkey.
You think it's a donkey. Let's see if you're right. Very carefully, though, because they're very precious. I think you could be right. There's a donkey kneeling down so that Mary is able to climb on board. I think Joseph probably walked. And well done. Thank you very much indeed. So we're not told directly in the passage. We're just told that there was a journey that they went on. But how do you think that Joseph and Mary would have felt as they went on that journey? What do you think they would have been feeling? Ezra, you've got your hand up again, but I'm not going to give you any more chocolates. Anybody else apart from Ezra or Len? How do you think Mary and Joseph would be feeling as they go on that journey? Exhausted would be a good one, yes? I think that would be very good. Well done. Okay, so they'll be feeling exhausted. Matthew, what do you think? Nervous, I think. And another word beginning with A that also means nervous. Anxious would be one, yes. Pigwig, you are not going to have any more chocolate. You have enough chocolate at breakfast on Tuesday. You can wait until then.
I think in pain.
In pain? Yeah, they might well have been in pain because she was pregnant and she was sitting on a donkey and she was not very comfortable and she was going on for a long time. Yeah, what do you think?
Tired,
yes, we had tired and exhausted, all that stuff. Quickly, go for it. Okay, anxious, I think they might have been afraid a bit because they didn't know. It's a long time, probably since they'd been back to Bethlehem. Mary had never been there in her life. She was on the back of a donkey, she was pregnant, So I think resentful, a bit resentful of the Romans. Suddenly, why is Quirinius doing this registration that everybody's got to up sticks and go? And it's about a 3-day journey, apparently, to get from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. It's a long way to go. So I think that they're going to be resentful and worried and anxious and exhausted, all those things. So we have Mary and Joseph journeying to Bethlehem. And the next reading is going to take the story on, but we've got something else before then. So thanks, Alicia. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So, same idea. There are one or two more things to unwrap. I've got one thing that's actually mentioned in the reading. Anybody going to guess what is actually mentioned in the reading? It's not a person, it's a thing. Now, we've got the same hands going up, and I think there are various adults who can read the Bible perfectly well, and these are particularly delicious Rolos, Snicker bars, or Mars bars. I think I need some adults to answer the question, not the children, okay? What is... Oh, I promise that there will be chocolate in your lives in the next week. I can guarantee that there will be chocolate in your lives. If you come to church on Christmas morning, you might even get a satsuma because I've decided you'll get too much chocolate, having had chocolate for breakfast. But what do you think is a thing that's mentioned in the Bible that might be in this box, this bag? Katie's got a hand up. Katie will go for it.
Is A manger?
Let's try it and see. A manger is what she said. I want you to come out to the table. She said a manger. Do we reckon she's right?
Yeah.
A manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. It could be swaddling clothes. Okay, yes, so we've got a manger. Brilliant. Okay, now, riding on the back of the fact that Luke says there was a manger, where do you think a manger was like? What's a manger for, first of all? Malachi, very good. What's a manger for? It's a place for feeding animals. So if you come and have a look at this afterwards, you'll see that, yes, there's lots of straw in the top of a wooden thing. And that's because if you're feeding animals, like donkeys and oxen and that sort of thing, then you might have rats that are around. And so you certainly want to make sure that your food is up above the floor. And that's why... The safest place to put the Lord Jesus would have been a manger. But riding, as I say, on the back of the fact that it was the manger, where do you usually find, what room, what building would we usually put a manger in? Ezra's got his hand up yet again. Okay, Ezra, go for it. What room do you think, building do you usually find a manger in, certainly associated with the Christmas story? A farmhouse could be. Go for it.
Stable.
A stable. Let's go and let's come with me, and we'll go and see whether you're right. Okay. Let's go around to the front. Do we think that he's right? As a stable might be a good idea. Let's have you lift off this yellow thing. Okay. Very carefully. Lift. Okay. Let's carry that across. Put that one down. You have to turn it so that it faces the other way. Turn it round and then put it along the back. All right. So, yes, a stable. Now, what does it actually say about where Jesus was born? In the Bible. Thank you so much. Oh, wait a minute. Let's get you your thing. There we go. What does it say about where Jesus was born? There was no room in where? In the inn. Now, we tend to think that means, you know, there was no room in one of the motels in Bethlehem. Let me tell you, there weren't any motels in Bethlehem at the time. There weren't even hotels. There were not inns in the way that we understand inns. In other words, a place where you could go along and say, can I please rent a room for the night? It's much more likely that the Greek word actually means the guest wing, the guest chamber, the place in the house, his old family house, where the guests would be put. And if everybody who belongs to the family has got to come to Bethlehem, you can imagine that there were older, much more senior people who were in need of the guest room. And so there was no room for them in the guest room. And so they went into the next warmest, safest place, which was under the shelter of where the animals were. And they stayed there and had their... That was where the baby was born. So there are about two more things that might actually need to be unwrapped. So anybody going to guess what else we might have in our nativity scene? Someone who hasn't had a chocolate yet. Not impossibly difficult to guess. Well, it's fairly difficult to guess what this one might be. This is a bit bigger. Anybody going to guess what this might be in our nativity scene? Come on, adults. Must be somebody who's prepared to have a go. All you get is for being brave enough to try, you get a sweetie. And it doesn't matter if you're wrong. Now, I'm not going to give it to a child this time. This is an all-age service. All-age service means all ages. And Roz has already had hers. Sorry? Roz has already had at least one sweetie. Come on. What other animal adults do you think might be around? Francis has already had one. Come on, go for it. Guess. What do we usually see in all those nativity pictures that you've seen? Not sheep. Old MacDonald's. All those nativity scenes. Rosalie? An ox. Very good. Okay, Rosalie. Do you want to unwrap it or shall I unwrap it for you? Let's see if she's right. Now, all of this, it's not in the Bible. It just rides, thank you very much, it rides on the back of the fact that it says a manger. Now, there's one very important thing that we do read about in the Bible that we haven't had the little model for it yet. So what do we think the last thing that's going to go in our nativity scene might be? Adults. Richard.
Jesus.
Absolutely right. Let's see if you're right. There we go. One baby Jesus. About the least painful birth that ever it was. There you go. The Lord Jesus appears in our stable scene. So, again, what do you think that Mary and Joseph would have been feeling when they arrived in Bethlehem, and particularly when the baby began to arrive? What do you think that they would have been feeling? Sorry? May? Go on. Don't giggle with your husband and not then expect to get away with it.
Yeah, I didn't say the right thing. I've
not
said it loud.
Well, you could hazard a right guess. Alicia, anybody else get... What do you think that... If you were Mary, arriving in Bethlehem, tired and exhausted, in a certain amount of pain, your baby on the way, what do you think you'd be likely to be feeling? Scared. And another word for scared is? Beginning with A... Anxious, yes, or afraid. Yes, absolutely, we're going to get there in the end. What else might you... Esram, come on, Esram. What do you think Mary and Joseph would have been feeling as they arrived?
Horrified.
Yeah, maybe horrified that there isn't any space for them. Yeah.
Annoyed.
Why would they feel annoyed? Because there was... Okay. They would feel annoyed... Because there wasn't any space for them in the guest wing. Yes, Wynne, what else would they feel? Apprehensive. Yeah, another good word beginning with A. Go on, go for it. You can give it to your friend. Okay. So all of those things. It's worth just trying to fit into this story. What would they have felt at the various stages? And we'll think about that a little bit more in a moment. So we've had our readings from Luke... and from Matthew, and we've built up the nativity scene. And we tried to think together about what were the sort of emotions that Mary and then Joseph would have felt as they encountered the angels, and as they journeyed to Bethlehem, and as the time came for the baby to be born. And there was one that actually came in all of the different responses. And that was being afraid. Mary was afraid when she saw the angel. The angel said to Joseph that he wasn't to be afraid to take Mary to his wife, to be his wife. He might have been afraid of ridicule, all of those things that came his way. But he wasn't to be afraid of that. He was to have courage. And you just need to think that actually those words that they got from the angels, from Gabriel and from the angel of the Lord, they had to be thinking about that. So that on that long journey, 3 days on the back of a donkey, pregnant as she was traveling down, she just had to trust what the angel had said, the word of the Lord to her. The angel didn't say, you're going to miscarry. The angel didn't say, you're going to have a stillbirth. The angel didn't say, this baby's going to die as an infant. The angel said, you're going to have a son. So they had all the time. They were able to, in the midst of their fear and their discomfort and the pain and all the other things we thought about, they had a word from God that they were able to trust in. And then they were prepared to be obedient to that. They were obedient to do what they were told. They were told by God that she was going to be pregnant. He was told to marry her. All of that stuff. And we know that they did those things. But also they were obedient to the Roman authorities. The Roman authorities, massively inconvenient for them at that moment. With Mary pregnant, they went down to Bethlehem. They got on with living. And there are the same principles for us. At Christmas time, we're to rejoice over the truth that Jesus was born, that he was fully human, and so like us, he had a birthday. But much more important, in a sense, than just the simple rejoicing, is that whatever our circumstances, if we happen to be feeling like Mary and Joseph, feeling afraid because of things that are coming in the future, things that we're concerned about, feeling confused, not knowing which way to go, not knowing what's going to happen, and all of us in this country politically are saying we have no idea what's going to happen, our response needs to be like the response of Joseph and Mary, to trust God's word and promises to us. Now, Jesus' birth was the most significant birth in all of human history. The whole dating system of the world revolves around this birth. I mean, there are various people who still don't realize that this is 2018, because it was pretty much 2018 years ago that Jesus was born. Probably 2019 or 2020. But the whole dating system of the world was built round this birth. It was the most significant birth that ever happened. At the time, completely unnoticed. They didn't date everything by then, by Jesus' birth at that moment. But we do now. And just let me give a little thing that you used to do talk about BC, before Christ. If you go into anything in the nature of academic circles and they're trying to say what is the date of something that happened before the birth of the Lord Jesus, they now tend to say BCE, before common era. Anything in order to avoid naming the name of the Lord Jesus. If you look at anything in academic circles, that's the sort of thing that they will say, BCE. Rubbish. It's before Christ that's the significant thing. It's the most amazing birth, the most significant birth. But of course, it would have gone completely unnoticed at the time. There would have been no news of it that was carried to Rome. The news now spins around the world in no time at all, doesn't it? So I'm sure in a moment we'll be praying for the people caught up in that tsunami in Indonesia that happened yesterday. We know about these things now. But no one would have known in Rome. No one would have thought that it was of any significance at all. But the birth of the Lord Jesus is the most significant birth that ever was because of what he went on to do. And what he was going to go on and do was promised to Joseph and Mary in the readings we've already had. They were to call him Jesus. Why were they to call him Jesus from the readings that we've had? Why were they to call him Jesus? Esron, why were they to call him Jesus?
God told him to,
which is a very good reason for calling him Jesus, yes. But it was explained what the word, what the name Jesus means. Gigi. Savior of the world, go on. Messiah, yes, but we're just told that he was called Jesus because he is going to save the people from their sins. So the most significant thing that he was going to do is to save the people from their sins. We know that he was going to do that, to die on the cross. And then what's the other thing that we were told about the Lord Jesus? That he's going to be king forever. So he's the savior of the world. He's going to save the people from their sins. He's going to be king forever. Those are the promises that are made to us. Mary and Joseph had promises, similar promises, containing those words in many ways made to them. And they trusted those and were obedient even when they were afraid, when it was difficult, when there was hardship. In exactly the same way, we're to trust those same promises. Jesus has come not just to be the Savior of the world, but is now, has already died for the sins of the world. He is the Savior of the world, so we can be put right with God forever through him. And he is King forever. If we look out into the world, particularly the Western world, Jesus is ignored. We don't think he's a king at all. But we believe that because we know that to be true from the scriptures and from our own experience. And so we live in the light of that. So just like Mary and Joseph, even though they were afraid, even though life was difficult, they trusted in the word of God to them. They trusted in the promises. And they lived in the light of those promises. They were obedient to God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, thank you so much for the Christmas story. Thank you for the reminder today that Mary and Joseph were real human beings who, just like us, would have been afraid, confused, perplexed, anxious, in pain, maybe resentful, all those different things. But Father, above all, they were willing to trust your word to them, the trust that had come directly, the words that had come directly to them from the angels, but with promises that are still true for us. Jesus has come to save the people from their sins. Jesus has come to be king forever. Father, we pray that we might believe that, trust that ourselves, and then be obedient, living with Jesus as our King, rejoicing that Jesus is our Saviour. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.